Welcome to this week's episode of Geburtsgeschichten Podcast. This podcast is usually held in German, but once in a while I have international guests on. And my guest today is Dr. Koen Durlo from the Netherlands. He is an obstetrician and a pioneer in so-called MACs. MAC stands for maternal assisted cesarean and is a procedure where the woman guides her own baby out of her belly and onto her chest during a planned C-section. Dr. Koen Durlo is going to explain that in a bit more detail in this episode, but we also talk about informed consent and shared decision making, the importance of an interdisciplinary approach to births, where doctors, midwives, but also doulas and birth photographers work together with the parents, and how we can make births better for everyone. Geburtsgeschichten. Ich bin Thea Mayer. In diesem Podcast erzählen Frauen von ihrer Schwangerschaft, der Geburt und dem Wochenbett. Welcome, Koen Durlo. I'm very excited to have you on the podcast today.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
Could you introduce yourself to my listeners? Who are you? Where do you live? What's your profession? And maybe just tell us a little bit about your family background as well.
Of course. So I'm Koen Durlo. But in Dutch, it's called Koen, but we discussed that. So it's a difficult name. So I use both names. I'm a gynecologist or a perinatologist, an obstetrician, gynecologist specialized in birth and pregnancy. I live in Amsterdam and I work in a hospital in Utrecht. And I'm a father of two daughters, both home birth. So that really changed my view on birth and cesareans. And I've been a gynecologist for, I think, 12 and a half years now because I got this nice phone from my hospital. So we're working that long with them.
Wow. So before we dive into today's topics, which is mother-assisted or maternal-assisted cesareans, I would like to know from you what you know about your own birth, how you were born into this world.
I'm one of a twin. I'm the second of a twin. So my brother was first. He keeps bragging about that, but he is 15 minutes older than I am. And he was a normal position, head first, and I was transverse position. So the gynecologist, I was born in The Hague in Holland, and the gynecologist did a version and extraction. So he grabbed me by my feet and pulled me out. So I was lucky to have an experienced gynecologist with my mom.
Do you know how your mother experienced that birth? Because that sounds quite invasive.
I thought so too, and she told me she was not traumatized, but especially surprised by the force of labor and also the expertise of the gynecologist. So she never mentioned to me she was upset or angry. She was usually filled with joy when she told me about my birth. And then she usually talks about the minutes after when my brother and I were close to her. But in that time, it was in the 70s, my brother and I were moved to a separate department, so in a different room. So no skin to skin, no cuddling, no 24 hours with your parents. No, you're just in another room. And I think a couple of times a day, my mother was allowed to visit her own twins. And then behind the window, they showed me to my mom, said, this is Koen, and this is Renzo, this is my brother. And my mom was, oh, they're beautiful. And the nurse said, well, they're beautiful. But thinking about that now, it's crazy that we did that. But my mother always said, well, she wasn't worried about that or angry. It's just the way it was. So I got a lot of love afterwards.
Yeah, it was the cultural norm for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think a lot have changed, and I think for the good.
Yeah. And you've mentioned that both of your daughters were born at home.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, were they born before you were a gynecologist or after?
Well, kind of during. I was a resident. I was already experienced with birth. So I was a little bit worried because I only saw the women who were referred to me because there was a complication. So I had this one view of birth. So, but once it was around due time and my wife got contractions and she woke me up. She said, I think my membranes are broken. Okay. And then she started puffing and said, oh, this looks really serious. I recognized it. And we called our midwife because we were planning on, it's called a hospital birth, but like a home birth in the hospital. It's location, you only change location. And the midwife showed up in the night and she was pregnant for 30 weeks or so. And she checked my wife and it was an estimated 8 centimeters. So she said, so if you really want to go to the hospital, you have to go right now. But I'm pretty confident we can do it at home. And my wife also said, I'm also very confident. So I was the only one just a little bit in doubt. And I thought, well, if a midwife with 30 weeks of pregnancy says I'm all right with this, well, let's go. And I had the most wonderful experience. So everything went really smoothly. The dilation, the pushing part, the born of my daughter, and the intimacy of the first hours. I could fully understand this is what birth is also about, especially with professional midwives close by. So that really changed my view on birth. So the second we did the same. So, and it was also wonderful. We had some, I did also notice there were some not medical indication, but we were getting close. So 20 hours of broken membranes. My second daughter was small, but not too small. So we were just a little bit on the edge of safe home delivery. So I kind of felt that. But, oh, okay. So if something happens, I'll be a little far away from the hospital. So I felt that too. But I was also monitored by a very experienced midwife. So, no, those were two amazing experiences. So I take them with me.
That's wonderful to hear, both, I think, for you as a father, but also professionally as a gynecologist. So let's talk about maternal assisted cesareans. You're a pioneer of them. Could you explain, first of all, what is a maternal assisted cesarean and how you started doing them?
Well, it's a cesarean in which the mother participates more actively. She becomes part of the team. So instead of undergoing a C-section, you are participating and you welcoming your baby when the baby comes out. So you'll be the first to touch your baby. There are no strange hands in between, no doctors, no side tables, just you and your baby, and you are allowed, or you are able to have immediate skin to skin. So it really increases the experience of a C-section, because you're now part of the team. You've got a significant role in this. So that really helps women who want to have a nice experience, but also who were traumatized with previous birth. And I've been doing this for 9 years now. So the MAC, or it's called MAC in Holland, is now 9 years old. I still have contact with the first MAC mother. So she sends me a picture of her daughter every year. So I see the first MAC doctor growing up. I like that. And it was her who visited my hospital with her question, I'd like a mother-assisted C-section. And I vaguely heard about this, not so much. And she brought with her doula. So, and there was a doula I worked with for a couple of years now. So she knew me. And she didn't tell me anything before. So she was sitting there just smiling. So, oh, what are you going to say, Cohen? And I was really curious about her request. So why would you want mother-assisted C-section? And the mother, Camilla, she was called, she could really explain to me why this would help her. She had a traumatic birth. She was very afraid of losing her baby during birth. And she thought if I could be more of the an active role in the C-section, that would really help me. And she was pretty convincing. So I said to her, okay, I'm going to try that. So I asked a couple of enthusiastic members of my team, operating nurses, anesthesiologists, let's try and find out how this works. Because there was no literature, there were no videos, nothing, just one photo from Australia with but a bit fake, which shows that a woman was lifting her baby out of her womb. So I thought, okay, this is where we're aiming for. But we took an afternoon and had lots of fun in the operating room for hours, just trying to think about sterile sheets and ropes and gloves. And eventually it worked. And Camilla came, and we trained it with Camilla. I practiced with her, and eventually she came to the hospital. And we got her all dressed up. I can show you some pictures if you'd like to share them so people can see how it works. But they were like a sterile robe, like a crop top. So their belly is bare, and they wear sterile gloves, and they're just laying on the operating table. And it's difficult to get them dressed, so especially the first time. So we were like really happy when that worked. We were like glowing before the operation already started. And eventually, well, just routine C-section. So, but Camilla was worried and a little bit anxious. So we took the time and we paused several times to say, "Are you sure you're okay? You feel okay?" And then the moment happened when her daughter came out, and she had her hands ready, and her baby, her daughter, was born in her hands. And well, there were a lot of colleagues of mine who went silent and said, "Oh, this is really beautiful." And I felt the same. So I thought, well, this is nice, but it was really, really nice, really intimate. And she immediately lifted her baby, put it on her chest, and everybody was silent. Oh, okay, this is really nice. So we thought we'd like to do this some more, and we can offer this to him, but nobody came. So we were on the 8 o'clock news, so it's a big news in Holland, so like 8 million views. So I thought, okay, gonna see lots of patients. Nobody. I did it once or twice every year. And then over time, influencers and podcasts and other people picked it up, and it gradually increased. And now after 9 years, I'm close to 100 a year. Yeah, too much for me. So I have to train two of my colleagues to also do mother assisted C-section. So we got this whole team of mother assisted C-section. So this is how it went. All due to thanks to Camilla.
Yeah, thanks to Camilla, and thank you for advocating for it. You mentioned that initially you talked to some enthusiastic members of your team, nurses, anesthetists. Did you also have to like talk to hospital management? Was there pushback from higher ups?
No, not so much. No. I have the great opportunity to work in a hospital which is free-minded, so, and always innovative, as long as it's the best for the mother and the baby. So I kind of explained to them, because I thought there might be some news coverage or some attention for this new technique. So, but nobody told me don't do it. And I met some people, of course, colleagues along the way in preparing this, say, "Oh, why do you want to do this? I don't want to be part of this." Okay, you're good. I don't want to be part with you either. But I only wanted the ones who are really enthusiastic about it. So not a great deal of resistance, not a great deal of drawback, especially when we showed the video, because the doula was there also, and she captured it on video. And when I showed it to my colleagues, because they're all caregivers, so when they saw, okay, this is really nice, and the mother's really enjoying themselves, it's such a nice, intimate, but also very safe moment, a lot of people were convinced immediately. So, okay, this is good. This is what we're going to do.
Okay, so you mentioned that you now have a team and you train other doctors or other teams in doing it, because it takes more than just the doctor to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so how many hospitals in Holland offer mother-assisted cesareans now?
Oh, I keep track of those. I made a magazine. It's with a C, magazine, which shows a list of Dutch hospitals. It's about 10 now, I think. I'm not sure, but 6 to 8 offer it routinely, so they do it lots. And 2 to 4, I think they offer it on special indications.
Okay, but 10 for a relatively small country is not bad.
Oh, thank you. I think so too. We got like 70 hospitals in which birth is possible. So it's still a little low, but well, we got all the, well, Holland is a tiny country, but we got on all the corners of the country, we got a hospital. So most women can find a hospital, but I do see lots of women from all over the country come to Utrecht, which is in the center of the country, to have a mother-sister C-section with me or with my team.
Yeah. So you've mentioned that one of the reasons that Camilla, that first woman, wanted to have that kind of experience, that kind of C-section, because she had a traumatic first birth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would like to talk to you about that birth trauma is an indication for a planned C-section, which I think sometimes is in contrast to purely medical reasons for a C-section. Like, I think all obstetricians agree that there is a certain set of medical indications that you have to have a cesarean if your baby is full transverse and can't be turned. That's a reason for a C-section. And then, I mean, these days, of course, people say if you've had a previous cesarean, then that's an indication for another cesarean, which is not. Mm. I've had my vaginal birth after a C-section. And I, just from my perspective, and I don't know how you see that as a doctor, but I have talked to a number of women who wanted to have a C-section without a quote-unquote medical reason. But the reason they wanted a C-section was previous trauma, either from a previous birth or other medical trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you see that? Like, what is the reason for a mother-assisted cesarean? And would you give it to a first-time mother who's never birthed before, who just comes and says, I want that because I want that experience?
Great question. So let's start with mother-assisted C-section. So I thought when we started, this was something for women who were traumatized by loss or by a traumatic birth. But over time, I noticed that other women also found me. And they said, I'm not traumatized, but I need a C-section because I want a C-section because I don't want to feedback or a baby's in breech. But I also allowed to have a mother's C-section. And yeah, of course, if you'd like the experience, I can offer it to you too. So there, it's like 50-50, I think, in my data. Just submitted a paper to a scientific journal, so we'll find out some more data. But I've done over 350 mechs now, and I submitted 200 mechs. And I think about 25 to 50% it changes over the years is from traumatic birth, and the rest is I like this. I want to be part. I want to be active. I want to be empowered in my C-section. So it's a little bit of both. And getting to your question about medical indication, I think good care is not only medical indication. So I'm not for a list which allows you to have a C-section or not. I think good care is a combination of what women want, what women have experienced, which risk are women willing to take and which not. So there are differences. So someone who is 45 years old had a 10-year-long fertility track with her last chance of a living baby. They might make other decisions than a young woman just starting a family and then planning on a big family. Maybe the first one needs a C-section, and that's okay. Maybe the second one needs vaginal birth, and that's okay too. It's not a race between VBACs or cesarean. It's just what's the best outcome for you. So I'm a strong advocate for that. So I'd like to listen to women. What do you think is best for you? Not only look at the protocols and the guidelines, but how do you see your future? How do you see your health? Which risk are you willing to avoid for your baby? And also, you have to look at your own fears as a doctor. And we tend to give care based on our own experiences. So I've seen serious complications, which also changes my perspective. Also good experience, like home birth, which changed my perspective, but you have to be aware of them. So it's not like you are an objective person in this matter in good care. And the fourth, you should be working in a hospital, which allows certain things. If you work in a hospital, who doesn't offer mothers a C-section? Yeah, you can't offer them. So it's the combination of your hospital, of your mother, of your doctor, and also guidelines, of course, but not only. And that combination, that's good care. So you need to find out every time you talk to a woman, what's good care for you?
I wish more doctors would think like you.
Thanks.
Have you ever said no to a woman who requested a motherly assisted cesarean from you?
Well, it's not. I usually don't get the question first. I want motherless C-section. First, we have to talk about, is C-section the best option for you? And after you think C-section is the best option, would you like to increase the experience? Or because there are some women who say, well, I think it's nice, it's there. I can fully understand why women enjoy the experience, but it's nothing for me. I don't like it. I don't want it. I think it's too much for me. I don't want to participate. I have several reasons not to do. I think a gentle C-section is nice. So I think most women don't opt for mother-assisted C-section in case of a planned C-section. So it's just, I think in our hospital, 10 to 20% or so. So the rest opt for a gentle C-section. I sometimes have to say it's difficult, premature delivery. So premature C-section, we don't do that that much, but Vasa Previa, for instance. Also, when the placenta is very close to the incision and you have to go through the placenta while the placenta starts bleeding, the baby starts bleeding, you can take a time to easily guide the baby out. So those are pretty hard contraindications. And sometimes I notice that women are worried or because when I prepare them for a mother-assisted C-section, I show them a big series of photos and talk them to every step of the way. I also do it with normal C-section, but also this one. So they know exactly what to expect. And I think that helps them. So not to be surprised, not to be worried, not to be anxious, but they know what will be the next step. And sometimes I notice during this show of photos and preparation, there's a lot of emotions usually. And that's a good sign, I think, because that people feel like the mark of something for that. But sometimes I also see worry or anxious and doubt. Is it possible for me to do that? I think it's scary. And then sometimes we agree, well, maybe it's nothing for you. Let's see how we can make it a gentle experience in another way for you. So maybe you want me to lift out your baby, but very slowly. Maybe you'd like half a lotus. Maybe you like cutting the cord through the sheets. So we can have several ways to make it a more intimate birth moment for you. Doesn't have to be mother assisted. So the mother assisted C-section, I always thought, well, lifting your baby out is really nice and so, but I talked to several people about mother assisted C-section, and they also told me, yes, it's nice to lift your baby out, to have that intimate moment, but the position, the recognition of trauma, the guidance by one gynecologist, a team who's fully supportive of you, talking you through every step of the way, to pause during surgery and check in with you, are you okay? Those are also very important factors in good birth. So mother-assisted C-section is not about only lifting your baby out, it's a whole preparation. So maybe the lifting the baby out is the cherry on top, but still can be nice. But there are some hospitals who say, are gentle, C-section is really, really nice. And I believe them. If you can prepare women and recognize them and support them really well, you can also have really good outcomes. It doesn't have to be mother assisted.
Yes, absolutely. I would like to circle back to just one thought. Because I've had a unplanned, unwanted C-section. I was under full anesthesia. So I wasn't even conscious when my baby was born, my firstborn. And then I had a home birth. So I had the complete opposite experiences. And I'm an absolute advocate for VBACs, whether at home or in the hospital. And I also absolutely love the idea of a mother-assisted cesarean. And that was actually something in my second pregnancy. I always thought, oh, if I can't have a vagina birth, then I'm going to advocate for that because that sounds really great.
I like that.
But luckily, I had my home birth. But I'm sometimes a bit worried because cesarean section rates are rising and they're rising fast. VBAC rates are very low, and I don't think they're increasing much. And I just sometimes have the worry of that dystopian future where babies are only born via cesareans or mostly, and I mean, in some countries we have cesarean sections of more than 50%. Like, that's just crazy to me. And I'm sometimes wondering if, I mean, the MAC is a fringe phenomenon at the moment, but I don't think it will take long until it becomes more mainstream. And I see the risk that it can then tip over into something where doctors say, come on, have the C-section. Don't even try the vaginal birth. That's so dangerous. We can make it really nice for you, and you can even lift out your own baby out of your belly. Like, that's all done for you, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I do know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not so worried about that, but I understand your fear, of course. Yeah, so if you increase the experience of C-section, women might be more tempted to opt for one. But I'd like to go back to the things I just said. Huh? So that's not good care only.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't be a race between VBACs and C-section. It should be what's best for the mother. And if we give every mother good care, I don't mind which rate of C-section we have, as long as the care is good. So, and I think... in my country, I don't see a rise in implant C-sections, unfortunately, and I don't see a decrease in VBAC, so it's kind of stable. And I think it depends on several factors why you would opt for C-section or vaginal birth. I think you can say it's dangerous vaginal birth. Yeah, well, there is a chance of rupture of the scar, and it can hurt your baby. Yes, true. And if you want to avoid that, yeah, choose planned C-section, but that's just part of the story. So, secondly, there's also the mother, the package. So, C-section is more dangerous for the mother. And if you want to have other babies afterwards, a C-section is also more risky for future babies. So, what's right or wrong? And I think you should offer that information to women. So, some women say, so the risk of a uterine rupture is about 0.5%, 0.8%. I'm not sure if it differs in Germany. So there are women who say to me, so that means it's like 99% that my scar won't rupture. That's not a big deal. I'll take my chances. So, and that's fine too. So it should be a conversation about risk, about advantages, about family, about health, about future. And then the mode of delivery will pop up. So when I start this conversation with parents who doubt about how they should deliver, I'm not going to ask them, going to tell them the list. I'm just going to ask them, what do you think is important now? How do you see your future? Do you want more babies? What's important for your health? What's important in your daily life? Huh? And that can help you find goals which are important for you. And then eventually, it's more clear which option you should choose because you think it's important instead of looking at the mode.
The question is then, how do we get to a place of more individualized care for every woman?
Yeah, frankly, I think women are the lead. Yeah? So like in my country, there are 1,000 gynecologists. You cannot expect innovation only from them. So there are 150,000 pregnant women in our country every year. So things change because they ask for things, because they don't agree on their plans or on their time. And so it should come from the women. They should ask for, I'd like to go over this personally. What does it mean for me? So we should empower women how to get the right questions out there, how to get them well informed, just like your podcast. How to inform women about their choices. So empower them, inform them, and help them with the decision making, a shared decision. So and then I think healthcare will bend because we're there for the women. We're caregivers. So as long as it's good care, most caregivers will go along. But it's also an institute with guidelines, with protocols. So it's like this big tanker, big boat, which is very slowly turns. So you should push with a lot of women.
Yes, I agree to a certain extent, but I also want to push back a little bit when you say, okay, it's that big tanker. That tanker is really mighty. And I think it has to come from both ends. And I personally think that we need to change the training for doctors and midwives, because that's where it starts. That's where professionals get their first ideas of what their future profession will look like.
I agree. So, and I cannot speak for other countries, but what I noted in Holland. So what I noticed when I was a resident, I wasn't trained on homework or how midwives worked. But that has changed over the last decade. So our residents now, they have mandatory internships with midwives. So they are with home deliveries. They are with the practice. So, and the last decade, I also, not as a doctor, but as Cohen, I visit practices with midwife and will do the appointments together. So women who need a gynecologist, but are sometimes a little bit worried to go to the hospital, or sometimes you want to make agreements with the midwife there. So I go to the practice just like this in my sweater and sit with the midwife and talk to these women. So I think we are getting better and trying to steer this tanker in a more preferable direction.
I guess the world can learn a lot from the Netherlands.
Thanks.
I wish it would go that direction in other countries as well.
Yeah, and the funny part is you can learn a lot about midwives because I'm not trained for physiology a lot. I'm trained to recognize pathology. I'm like a hammer. I see nails everywhere. So, and it's very nice to see midwife thinking from a different angle. They say, well, this is just physiological. Let's give it some time. Or I got some great tricks for pain relief. Or like my midwife who was there with our first delivery, we were in this very small bedroom. She said, oh, it doesn't matter. Well, take out the mattress, put it on the dining table, and let's give birth there. So they're like really free-minded spirits which with a physiological setting. So, and I think it can help you as a doctor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's what it means to work together with different disciplines.
Yes, I think so too. So, and not just midwives, but also doulas. I work a lot with doulas or birth photographers, for instance. Let's include everybody in the team as long as they be part of the whole circle of good care.
Absolutely. To come to a close, I would just like to talk a few more kind of like details about the MAC. I know that you've done some calculating on what it actually takes, what it takes in extra time and extra material to do that, because I know that lots of hospitals are short on time and short on money. And you've calculated that for everyone who doubts the efficiency of a maternal assisted cesarean.
Yes, you're right. I got these questions a lot from other hospitals, also from foreign countries. Do you need a special team? No, you don't need a special team. Does it take a lot of time? No, it takes 4 minutes extra on average. There is a learning curve, so you might start with 6 minutes, but eventually you'll get to 4 minutes of extra time. That's within normal variety of a C-section when you have adhesions or bleeding or whatever. So you do need more equipment, material, one sterile rope, and two pair of gloves. That's almost 10 euros extra. So I think we'll manage. I think we're not going to bankrupt over that. But what I do see, it's safe. People say it might not be safe. It is safe. Over 200 megs, 350 megs, no more neonatal complications, normal APGAR scores, normal blood flow, normal temperature. But you gain a lot on the experience. So you make parents happy. So for 9 euros 80 cents and 4 minutes of extra time, you make parents very, very happy. And I think happy parents, it goes throughout your life. So a happy start of the family, more attachment to your baby. I do see some signs that breastfeeding might be coming a bit easier after mother-assisted C-section, but I have to be careful because I have this very motivated group who opt for mother-assisted C-section, so they might be more motivated than others. But overall, it's just an easy way to provide a very nice experience for women who are eligible and want a planned C-section and also think this is a nice experience for them. If not, well, we're fine too. You can have a wonderful gentle C-section as well.
Yeah, so if a woman in Austria or Germany hears this now and think, oh my God, so I'm pregnant right now, I have to have a C-section, I want this, but my doctor is doubtful, what can they tell their doctor?
Well, you should open the discussion. So I was doubtful also at first. So, but why are you doubtful? What? So think in solutions. Are you worried about sterility, cost, equipment, time? Just tell me. So I do meet a lot of doctors who say, I won't do it. It's not sterile. That's not thinking in solutions. That's thinking in problems. So then you don't want to. I think if you want to, hey, you should think about how can I make this more sterile or make this more safe? So, and most of the doctors just need some convincing or need some data. So hopefully my paper is accepted. So I really, that will be a big leap for mother-assisted C-section, that people can really show scientific evidence that it is safe. I think that will help. And I think also it will help that all doctors from all countries can reach out to me. I got a lot of DMs on my Insta. So yeah, don't be afraid of texting me there. And I'm working on a website because I now have to redraw from, I get questions from all over. So I have to get now one platform. So I'm working on that. So I got, and I've been willing to help you. So I've worked with lots of doctors and just online. So I, last year I did on Argentina, I helped several doctors just online, taking them step by step through the mother-assisted C-section, and worked out. And she's now been doing mother-assisted C-section beautifully. So yeah, talk to your doctor. And if your doctor needs conviction, I'm here.
Great. Wonderful. Any last words that you would like to share?
No, but I think I'd like to go back to what I first said, that this all started with just one woman and with one question. So can you change my C-section? So, and that would also be advocate for all the women out there. If you want something, just ask your doctor, because he can think with you. We all want good care. And for doctors, just listen. So there, I had a lot of crazy requests. Okay, that's fine. But behind that request, there is a wish or a fear. Recognize that fear and try to work on that, because then you're giving good care.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time and the work you do.
Thanks.
And all the best to you.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to this conversation with Dr. Koen Durlo. If you enjoyed this conversation, then please share it with others, especially with the women in your life who are going to have a C-section and want to know how to make their C-section experience better. And if you have a minute to spare, I would be very grateful if you could write me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That would be helpful so that the podcast is shown to more people. Thank you very much.